fire. Hallelujah. His kingdom will fall upon your heart, upon your life. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of His people. Father, I thank You that You inhabit our praise, that You dwell in the house of worship here today, Lord God. You dwell in the hearts of the worshiper today, Lord. Father, I thank You that You're doing a great work in the hearts of people, Father God. Lord, I thank You for the testimonies of this past weekend, Lord God. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Not only in the time of this church, but in your life, the best is yet to come. The goodness of God is available for you today, tomorrow, this week, this year, this coming year. The goodness of God, He is moving upon His church. He is moving upon His people as they go forth and go out. The power of God is upon them, and He's here today in the mighty name of Jesus. All thrones and dominions must cease in the presence of God and in the power of God. So, Father, I thank You that today is a wonderful day in the house of God, and there's a wonderful group of people, family of believers here today, receiving the engrafted word, receiving the Holy Ghost and power here today, receiving healing, receiving signs, wonders, and miracles in their lives, Lord. And I thank You that today is a day that You have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. If you agree with that, say amen and give the Lord a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Woo. Glory to God. Have a seat if you can. I'm telling you, I am on a high from yesterday. Everybody's sharing testimony. My testimony is seeing the church be the church. Amen. That's my testimony. You're laying hands on people. You're praying for people. You're feeding people. There is not one part of yesterday that was minor. Hear me. Not one part of yesterday that was minor. If you made a cookie that led people, your 44 salvation, do you realize that we soul win for about 45 minutes? So every minute a soul was being saved while we were there. Think about that. Think about that. We fed 120 plus people in what? An hour and a half. So less than a minute, every 30 seconds we were feeding a person. This church. Amen. And I know you're looking online. We're thousands of people for you online. Amen. We're doing the work of thousands of people. Hear me out. You don't realize this. Do you realize that I don't have the number, so I can't say it, but there is many believers that never win a person to the Lord, that live their whole life and never share the gospel with a person and lead them in a prayer of salvation for someone to get saved. And here, this church, I don't know our membership number. I don't look at it, but I just look at some numbers. The amount of people here today, that's how many people got saved yesterday. Yeah. Amen. That is powerful. Hey, don't despise small beginnings. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are doing great things for God. When people look at numbers, I don't look at numbers only. I look at percentages too. Amen. Because when you start really looking at percentages and what this church does, sending $5,000 to Johnson City, Tennessee for hurricane victims, feeding over 100 people, over how many people got saved this year? I know we're pushing 500. We got to be close to 500. We're over 500. Come on, Pastor, get with it. We're over 500 people have sealed their eternal destiny through this church. Amen. You don't have to go look for a church online to see something happening. Things are happening. Things are happening. Testimonies. Man, can you come up here, please? And then your daughter. Come here. Come here. I want you to testify. And I usually don't do this, but you know, you get crazy under the anointing. You get doing crazy things. I want you to share. Come over here. You got to come a little closer. I want you to share what happened to you last week briefly, week before last, and then what you told me yesterday about the team. Can you share that? Do you mind? Oh, yeah. Don't mind. You don't mind at all. Go ahead.
So last weekend, I came in with crutches because I sprained my knee and ankle playing basketball in Crocs. Dumb idea. And I came here last weekend, and I got prayed for, and automatically I could just walk perfectly fine. And a few days ago, I tried out for basketball and made the team.
Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Do you realize that someone comes in crutches, sprain their ankle playing a sport they enjoy playing? That's what the enemy wants you to do. You're going and doing something that you want to do that speaks to you as a sport or a hobby, and the literal thing that you like doing, you sprain your ankle and you can't do what you want to do. But the Lord says, "No, I see you. I see you, daughter. I see you." That's what the Lord's saying. I see you, and I know your heart, and I'm going to make all things good.
Amen.
Amen. That's literally what. How good is God? I don't know what people need to see to start believing that God's alive and real. It's someone on crutches, get rid of the crutches. Let's go play basketball and go make the team. There's people not on crutches that she did better. I'm just saying. The Lord can give you the desires of your heart if you give him your heart. Ding, ding. Give him your heart. Your desires will be fulfilled. And they'll be greater than what you can even desire. Greater. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Are you ready for this message today? Because I'm telling you, it is burning in my soul, the message for today. And I'm going back to my roots. And I'm going to minister on faith. Because I don't want to say I backed away, because God forbid I back away from anything that the Lord wants me to do. But I haven't pressed in it like I should. And I'm coming back to it. Amen. And we're going to go to James. James chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 14. This is the offering. I just want to share this scripture to build your faith in what God's word says. So the message today is faith places a demand. Faith places a demand on God's word. And what I mean by that is when you operate in the faith in God, it causes heaven to move. It literally, heaven moves when faith is released. And it causes a demand. It causes movement in the kingdom of heaven when you release your faith in heaven. Nothing else will move heaven like faith moves heaven. God will move heaven and earth for the believer that prays in faith and stands in faith and operates in faith. And I want to share this with you. This has nothing to do with I've been saved a week. I'm spirit filled. I do this. I'm a prophet. I'm an evangelist. Nothing. It's faith. Faith operates in every believer's life. You can literally shake heaven and dismantle hell by your faith. Faith places a demand into the supernatural, into the spirit realm, to shake it and to move it. Amen. And when you grab a hold of this truth, it'll shake every area of your life. This is a principle, and I've never heard James 2:14 ministered on when it comes to the offering. But when you start understanding the principles of heaven, when you start understanding the motive of operation of how the kingdom operates, it transcends every subject matter. For instance, sowing and reaping transcends every subject matter that we deal with. Whether it's finances, whether it's our love walk, whether it's the words we speak, you sow, you reap. This scripture I'm going to share on in James 2:14 through 18 is the same application. God's word, when you put your faith in it, it will cause a demand. It places a demand on the anointing and the power of God to move things. Amen. Here we go. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic. Verse 14 says, "What is the use or profit?" Other scriptures say, "What is the benefit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul?" That's a question they were asking. How is it profitable? What use is it, brothers and sisters, if anyone professes, meaning speaks to have faith or says they have faith and has no good works to show for it? Legitimate question, isn't it? There's a lot of people say, "I know God, But you're going to find something out here. Faith does not operate just out of profession. It's very quiet in here. Faith has to have more to it than just speaking. It has to have corresponding action. If it does not have corresponding action, it's not the God kind of faith. Faith in God requires action to bring fulfillment. It places a demand. And what I want you to see is, even in your finances, you can say, I trust God with my finances. But if you do not have a corresponding action with your giving, guess what? Your faith is a profession and it's not God's faith. It will not operate or work for you. You can claim all day long, you're a believer, I love God, God's going to supply all of my needs, and you can. He's going to just overflow, and blessings are going to flow in my life. But that scripture is telling us that if you only speak it and you don't back it up with action, your speech means nothing. Amen. I got one amen out of it. I'm preaching better than your shout. I want you to get what God's promises say are yours. And you can't get them by just speaking them, by just quoting a scripture. You got to be living what that scripture says. Let me keep going, because I know this is going to change your life. And it's going to change not only because people know about how to confess. Have you ever met somebody that knows what to say in a moment, but they don't really believe what they're saying? There's people in and out of mental hospitals that can get out of a mental hospital because they know the words to say, but they're not healed yet. You understand what I'm saying? There's Christians that know how to speak Christianese, know how to quote scripture, but they don't really know because they're not acting on it. You'll see a believer by their faith. You'll see their faith based off of their actions. So if your actions aren't backing up what you're saying, guess what? Your faith is not in God. It's in yourself. I'm telling you, I'm trying my best, honey. Verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you say to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So he's given an analogy that we performed yesterday. So we did a lot of testimonies about soul winning. 44 souls got saved. But I'm telling you right now, the feeding of the people physically, literally swung the door wide open for the gospel to go forth. That was the action. So I want you to realize, you guys that served that didn't knock on doors, kudos to you. You helped the gospel go forth. You opened the door to the gospel going forth. That was the action of believing and then giving. And then there's the gospel. There's the truth of the promise. They could trust us to say, hey man, these people sacrificed. They made all this for me. This is wonderful. Of course I'll open the door to him. And as soon as they physically opened the door, their spiritual heart was open too. Amen. See how this works? The action of believing God, feeding the people, meeting their needs, amen, physically, hallelujah, that is the action of our faith to be able to profess and share the gospel. Amen. And we've soul wouldn't be there. We've never had that many souls that quickly. There's something about feeding people. I'm telling you. There's something about it. Let's go on. So if you could say, man, well, God bless you. You know, be warm, be filled, go on your way. And they have a physical need and you can meet it, but you don't. That's really not faith. That's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is giving them something tangible and believing God for the spiritual on top of it. I'm telling you, a lot of people, I'll pray for you. Come on, that's not, yeah, I agree with I'll pray for you. I've done that. But if you're not doing something if you're not motivated by your faith to physically do something along with what you're believing. Verse 17, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, and dead. I'm just reading the scripture. Don't shoot the messenger. It says, so also faith, if it does not have works, faith has to have corresponding action to be the God kind of faith. God is not one to just speak only. So that tells me God is a faithful God. So if God is a faithful God, every single promise in the scripture is a guarantee. It's yours if you believe it and act on it. That's what that scripture is saying. This is better than anything I could ever dream of, is to read over 5,000 promises in the Bible, knowing God is not a liar. And when he speaks his word, it's true. And if I can believe it and act on it, it's mine. Whew! We ought to go home shouting the victory. Every single promise is yes and amen, and it's mine. You say, well, what about... If you're saying but, you're totally missing the fact of faith. Faith has no buts in it. Faith doesn't have a past. Faith is future. Faith is seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're looking behind you, you're not even starting in the right direction. Faith can't even operate when you're looking behind you. Come on. This is Jesus. Help the people. If you are looking behind you, you can't go forward. You don't even know what you're looking for. If I took off running to Pastor Joe back there and I'm looking this way, there is a very good chance I'm not going to make it to him. And somebody's going to get hurt, and it's probably going to be me first. But we're like, God, do this, but we're looking behind us at everything that we've done. We want God to do this, but we're looking here. So wherever you're looking, that's where you're going. So you want to go this way, but you're looking that way. Oh, somebody did this to me. You keep focusing on what they did to you. But you're like, God, bless me. And you're focused on the back. How in the world is God going to bless you when you're not even operating in faith? Yeah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has to have hope in something. Yeah. So if you have no hope, faith can't even operate. There's no starting point for faith if you're hoping to get debt free. Faith is believing that you get debt free. The third step is doing something to get debt free. Believing that God's going to honor it. Amen. Is this making sense to anybody? Healing's the same way. If you're focused on the person that tripped you and you twisted your ankle on the basketball court, I'm not saying that's what happened. But if that's what happened and you're focused and you're mad at that person, you have no hope, you have no faith, and you're not acting on it. So you're not going to receive anything from it. You understand what I'm saying? You reap what you sow. So if you're focused on that, you're going to reap that. So if you keep thinking on negative things, you're going to keep producing negative things, and your faith is going to be inoperable. I'm sharing this to help you. I'm not sharing this to condemn you. The victory already lives inside of you. You're just focused on the wrong thing. Amen. When you focus on the promise of God, you speak it, then you start walking in that direction and you walk right into your blessing. Yes. You walk right into the promise of God. Yes. Amen. That's breakthrough. We can preach breakthrough all the time, but to understand breakthrough, these steps are what gets you the breakthrough. Seeing it, believing it, speaking it, and acting on it. Yes. When Pastor Lacey prayed for your leg, what did she do? Do something you couldn't do before. Take the crutches away. Let's start walking on that thing. Yeah. Boom. God showed up, didn't it? You say, well, that happened for her. It can happen for you. If you say it can't, there's your problem. Right there, instantly, your words are tripping you up. I can't do this. Yeah, don't worry. I know you can't because you're speaking you can't. But when you say, I can do all things through Christ, I can do it. I'm an overcomer. I got the victory over this thing. Oh, I got a negative thought. That's all right. That's just a thought. That's not who I am. Faith says, I'm going ahead. I'm going up. I'm getting out of this thing. Yes. Amen. So when it comes to finances, here we go. I want you to see this. Let me read 17 again. So also, if faith does not have works, deeds of actions of obedience to back it up. Faith, you have to do what you're believing for. Yes, you have to physically go in the direction of what you're believing for. So you have to ask yourself, what are you believing? Yeah. If you're believing a lie and you're walking towards a lie, you're going to have a self-fulfilled prophecy of that lie. Right. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? So if you think my family's always been in debt, we've always been poor, and you keep speaking that, you're walking right into your poverty. You're literally walking into poverty. But you can say, no, I break this thing in Jesus' name, and I'm going to be around people that are speaking faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. God, I'll tell you, my testimony again, testimony number two for yesterday, I spoke with a man. He didn't even live there. He's walking down the street, and he's like, I don't live here, but I'm homeless, and I don't have anything. I was like, well, guess what? I got something. I popped the hood open, and I just filled his bag up. I just loaded him up. And I'm talking to him. He's like, you know, this is phenomenal. I don't live here. And I looked down, and he had a pedometer, not a pedometer, but when you get in trouble, a felony. He had to wear it for 3 years on his ankle bracelet. You know, I haven't dealt with those things, so I don't really know the terminology. Ankle bracelet. He had to wear it for 3 years. And I'm ministering. He got saved. He asked Jesus into her heart. Joy just came over him. And he's like, can I get prayer for a job? And because nobody wants a felon. Nobody's going to hire a felon. And he's listening. Nobody, I've tried and this and this. I was like, well, guess what? You got the one that's going to make it happen. And I prayed with him. I was like, you're going to get a job in Jesus' name. The door's going to open. Walk through it. You're going to see it. And before he left, he's like, thank you so much. I want to make sure this website's going to be able that I can get a hold of you when I get my job. You hear what I just said? He literally went from I'm broke, I'm a felon, I'm going nowhere, to getting saved and leaving, said, I'm contacting you when I get my job. That's the difference. He had nothing to go for, but yet he had all things. And he made a decision, I'm not staying where I was or where I've been, I'm going somewhere greater. And he literally walked off like skipping. Like he was like, this was the best day of his life. And he didn't, nothing changed except for a couple groceries in his bag. Except for in the spirit, everything changed. His outlook looked different. Amen. So faith places a demand. He's like, I'm here, but your word says this. I'm going to grab a hold of that. And he did. Amen. And I looked at his leg. And I was like, and that's not going to be there for 3 years. Amen. The Lord's going to open a door. Yeah. Amen. He's going to make a way. God is so good. I'm talking like 2 minutes I talked to this guy. And his life changed. Yeah. Because he made a decision to believe God. Yeah. What would happen if we believe God and started acting on what we believe? You saw it yesterday. Not one person. You may say, man, this was a lot of work, but your spirit was like, I had the greatest time. Amen. Nobody left there saying, this was a waste of my time. I could have raked leaves today. I just wasted my time over here. Nobody looked at it that way. Why? Because you're doing the Lord's work. And when you do the Lord's work, he honors it. You are acting on what you believe. So the believer that comes on Sunday and only comes on Sunday but doesn't do anything to act on what they believe or what they hear preached on Sunday, Hit me again, Pastor. Here we go, verse 18. But someone will say to you then, you say you have faith and I have good works. So here we go. There's a flip side to this. I want you to see something. There's this side that's the confession side that thinks they're in faith all the time, but not acting on it. Okay? Then you have here in the middle, which is the perfect will of God, which you're confessing, you're believing, and you're acting on what you believe. And then you have this side, this religion, that's doing everything, but they're not operating in faith at all. They're not confessing. They're just doing deeds all the time without any faith attached to it. Even what you would call good deeds, all right? Philanthropists, no faith, but giving, okay? You must have the center. You must have the kingdom, and you must have you coming to the table because God does things through people, the church, all right? So it says here, but someone will say to you then, you say you have faith, and I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith. I love that, alleged faith. Apart from any good works, if you can, and I by good works of obedience will show you my faith. So what they're saying here is, I show you my faith by my works. My works prove my faith. The only way true faith in God is proven is when you're operating and living what you're speaking. And that's why hypocritical Christians don't operate in faith. and don't see what God has because they're in that place of speaking only but not living what they speak. Faith must places a demand on God and causes you to be motivated in a way. When you become a new creation, old things are passed away. Yes, old tendencies have to get adjusted. You start living different than what you lived before. It has to happen. You cannot stay under the anointing of God in the Word of God and be the same you were 10 years ago. It's impossible. I'll just quit the ministry if everybody in the church stayed exactly the way they were 10 years ago and did nothing. Because that's not the gospel. Something is missing. Things have to change. They may change at a different rate than what you think they ought to change. But they must be changing in the proper direction. Hear me out. There must be. You cannot stay in counseling your whole life. Hear me. You can't stay at a financial level your whole life and be believing God and acting on it and stay the same. You can't. God is not a liar. He is a good. We sang about how good God is. We read about how good God is. We sing about how good God is. Amen. God's a good God and wants increase in your life. Amen. And that's why when we operate in faith, we have to be operating according to what we believe. We have to physically make a decision to start moving in the direction of what we're believing for. So I want you to sow today in faith. And when I say you sow in faith to God, that means there's something that you must do on this part to see what you're believing for come to pass. So one, you got to be believing for something. Believing in something. Amen. Two, you're confessing it. Amen. Yes. And number three, you're applying what you're believing. Yes. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. Yes. Amen. That's how it operates. Ushers, if you can come forward. And this is every situation. I want to give time. If you're online, there's ways to give. I'm believing online that this is blessing you. Because this, if you can understand this truth, it will help you in every single situation of your life. Not just finances. This is a principle of the kingdom of God that operates for every believer. Even the young ones that go into Sunday school. Same, they believe and they act on it and they see it come to pass. Amen. Simple faith. Go ahead, ushers. Amen. Amen. You're getting ready to get more of it. That was just an appetizer. You may have questions. We all do. But that's where we get in the Word and get the truth. What does the Word say concerning this situation? Once you get that revelation of what the Word says, then you believe it, you confess it, and you act on it. And you see it come to pass. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. What are you believing for? Are you believing for great things? Great financial breakthrough? Debt reduction? Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. Many people may be online saying, oh, it's about the money. This has nothing to do with the money. This is a heart thing. Yeah. When your heart's in something, you'll give towards it. When you believe in something, you'll act on it. Yeah. Amen. I can say it this way. If you say you're a Christian, I'm going to really make heads roll. If you say you're a Christian, you believe God, you should be at church on Sunday. That's an acting on what you believe. If God is number one in your life, you need to start walking and living like He's number one. Yeah. Hey, if church is your family, you should be here at church on Sunday. See, it's nothing to do with anybody here today. Amen? Because you're here. You're acting on what you believe. I got something to give, and I got something to get from my family today. Yeah. Amen. You're here to receive. Glory to God. You know, I taught about salt last week. Salt has flavor to it. It changes what you put it into. Amen. And if you put a lot of salt into something, you can change it a lot. Thank you, Lord. You can bow your heads. I was getting ready to go on a rant. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that faith is rich. in this house today. Even those listening online, Father God, they're believing for great and mighty things. And it's not just finances. We're not just about financial things and prosperity just in the financial realm. We are a church that believes the whole word of God from front to back, that we are to live in life and life more abundant. And Father, I thank you that your word teaches us that by faith we please you. By faith we walk with you. And Father, I thank you that even now we operate in faith as we sow seed. And Lord, the releasing of the seed is when the power of God comes upon that seed and is supernaturally charged by the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, I thank you that it brings forth great and mighty fruit that remains. Not only in the giver's life, not only in the church, but around the world, that souls will be transformed. Father, I thank you that even the giving operated yesterday in Dover to bring 44 souls and 15 rededications to the Lord. So, Father, I'm reminded that this seed has power in it when the anointing is placed upon it. And Lord, I thank you that your anointing is upon this seed. And it breaks the yoke of poverty. It breaks the yoke of lack. And it brings forth multiplication. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm the preacher today, because I feel like preaching. Do I feel like preaching? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We're going to get right into it. Faith places a demand. You say, I thought we were already into it. Yeah, we were, but we're getting into it again. Part two. This scripture came to me. I just want to touch on it, and then I'm going to go a couple different places, then end in Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of your words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. Now get this. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So the word is working all the time. That tells us that God's word is constantly alive and working. But it's working and manifesting in those who believe. So the word is working in all the world. Like, God's word obviously is working because the sun came up today. Yeah. Amen. You say, well, why are you trying to be funny? No, that's the word of God in Genesis 8:22. Amen. He seasons, cold and winter, day and night. It's a promise of God. See, we live our lives in the promises of God so naturally at times because we believe it so much we don't even think about it. We just operate. You make plans in a certain time of day because there's daylight out. You make plans because it's going to be dark at a certain time. You're not going to do this. And you're living it based off of God's promise of day and night. And you don't even know that's a promise, but you're literally living and making your plans based off of God's promise that he ordained. You understand? You breathe every day not thinking about breathing. Your lungs automatically open up, retract, and you breathe in and breathe out every day. It's a promise of God that the oxygen is the right level for you. Yeah. And we just live it not even thinking about it. But then when it gets into areas that we're unsure of, we pull back. But it's no different. Every promise in the Bible is just as much true as the sun rising. And if you can see it that way, you'll just dive headlong right into the Word of God. And you'll believe every single thing that's in there. You won't hold back. You won't hold back at all because it'll be just like the sun coming up. Man, we've had some of the most beautiful sunrises here in the last couple weeks. Just phenomenal. I'm like, man, look at you, God. You're like outdoing yourself. And I think to myself, what about these other promises? He already outdid himself by sending his son. Yeah. I think to myself, my God, I am so undeserving of this. So undeserving of all these promises. Over 5,000. I think there's close to 6,000 promises in Scripture for humanity. And they all operate the same way. They're all from the same source. And they're all given through Jesus Christ. And I'm like, wow, it's you, God, that gave me life. Not only this life that I'm living, but abundant life. So why stop at just life when there's an abundant life? Amen. Come on. Don't look down and be like, oh man, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through, but you don't have to stay there. I do know that. Because there's a promise for what you're going through. I guarantee you, God's not going to leave you orphan. Or he didn't wake up and be like, man, I totally missed what that guy was going through. You know, he just outdid me today. He outwitted me today. The devil just got the upper hand on me today, and I just missed it. God doesn't operate like that. God is complete. Everything he needs to do is already done. It's just us believing and stepping over into what he has already done. Jesus does not have to come back on the cross. Amen. Every sin is already dealt with. It's already washed clean by the blood. Amen. And you can look at yourself and say, well, this is new to me. Just because it's new to you doesn't mean it's new to God. Just because you're like, oh, I got this new revelation. It isn't new to God. He's like, I gave you that revelation 6,000 years ago in Genesis. You understand what I'm saying? What our mind tries to grasp as like, wow. You know, I go places and listen to ministers, and you hear people, a minister will speak something, and the people be like, wow. I'm like, what are you wowing about? It's been there the whole time. You're just hearing it for the first time. You understand what I mean? People get like it's something new. It's not new. It's been there. It's just new to you. Amen. And I understand you can wow because it's new to you. You get a new car or a new truck. Wow, this is great. But guess what? There's been new cars and trucks for a long time. Anyway. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So the word has the power to work in who? The believer. Not every person. Did you catch that? The word works in the believer. Who is a believer in here? Amen. Amen. We have a few. So guess what? Even now, the word is working in you. You say, well, I don't feel it. Guess what? You don't have to feel it. You don't have to feel it. When somebody comes up for prayer and the power of God hits them and they fall down, they don't really feel anything. Yeah. They don't even feel the floor. Yeah. Nothing. Feels like they're floating on a cloud. Isn't that right? It's like, what just happened? All of a sudden, I'm looking up at the ceiling. And you wake up 30 seconds, minute, hour later, and you're like, what just happened? You didn't even know what happened. It happened so quick. Your physical hasn't caught up to your spiritual. That's how quick God works. And when you operate in faith, that's how quick things can come to you. Yeah. I'm telling you, like that. That's how quick Jesus is coming back for the church. Yeah. So if you're trying to figure out how to get things right before Jesus comes, you better hurry up. Because it could be like that. Yeah. I mean, I might not get my wonderful message done today. You hear what I'm saying? That's how quick. Yeah. That's why the urgency of preaching and teaching is like on high gear. Because the time is short, and Jesus is going to come back just like that, boom. And it's in our spirit as ministers. We got to get everything out to you as much as possible. Man, I'm telling you, I got a desire to do every night teaching, like school, like just pour it into people. Like time is short. I got to give you everything, Lord. Give me more so I can give more. Amen. That's how urgent it is. Don't make fun of me and don't steal this if I'm doing that. But it's urgent. It's urgent. Amen. Word continues to work in you who believe. When you believe, the word is working. Yeah. The word is working when you're not believing. It's just not working for you. Catch that. Yeah. It works all the time, but it manifests in those that believe. I can't change the word. If you're saying, well, I prayed and I'm believing God and I'm not seeing it, I can't answer for that. It doesn't change the word whether we see it or not. Come on, that's it. There's promises that many in the Old Testament never saw. They prophesy promises that we're living in right now that they never saw. Yeah, but they still prophesied them, they still spoke them, and it's still the truth. So no matter what we go through, we must settle in faith knowing that God is in control and he's got it all together and he's giving us exactly what we have need of when we have need of it. You understand what I mean? So we can't look back at God and blame God. Why are we not seeing it? It's not God that's the problem. God is protecting you. He's revealing his heart to you and he's showing you as you trust in him, he's got you. He's got you. In the palm of your hand. The word is working on those that believe. Yes, amen. I can't change that. So when you're believing and you're confessing and you're standing, that means the word's doing something. The word is doing something. So we went out yesterday believing God to touch Capitol Apartments. And boy, did we ever touch them. Boy, did we touch them. Why? Because we were believing. And then we were acting. We placed a demand on what we believed. So if the word is working and we believe by faith that the word is ours, guess what? We're right in the driver's seat for that promise to come to pass. Okay, it's not the word doesn't stop working. You got to realize something. It's not just working on Sunday morning. The word is constantly, when you're sleeping, the word is working. Angels are moving at high rates of speed. If you were to step out of the natural, look into the supernatural, there's angels all around this building. All around this building, working, ministering, protecting you, watching over you, taking this word and ministering it to you. The Holy Ghost is at that. He is working. He is working. Amen. Amen. And everybody said, hey, can he work for me? Oh, yeah, he can work for me. Guess what? There, you're right in the driver's seat. You're like sitting right up here. Nobody else around. All of a sudden, the kingdom of God is just working in your heart, just working in your life. Amen. Right where you're sitting right now, if you can believe he'll do it. When you're sleeping, when you're praying next to your bed, the word is working. It's working if you're believing the word. Now, the word's working, but if you're not believing that it'll work for you, it's not working for you. You must believe in the word. So the word has power. It's living. I want you to realize that the word is living. It's powerful. And it's working. Everybody say, it's working. And it's working for me. Amen. You got to be able to know that it's working for you. It's great to know that it works for other people. Praise God. But it's got to work for you. And it's also great that it works for you, but you got to realize it's for other people too. Amen. Amen. That causes you to do for others, not just pray selfish prayers for yourself. Amen. God is working. He's working. Amen. Amen. Oh, man, I could just sit on it. I read it 5 times. I think you got it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's working. It continues to work in you who believe. Amen. So if you need the word to work for you, believe it. It's working. 1 John 5:4-5. I love this scripture. I love all scripture, but some of them they speak to you. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Man, I could just camp right there. Did you hear that? Every child of God, every believer of God defeats this evil world. Every child of God has ability to defeat everything in this world. That tells me that cancer, no power. Why? Because I'm a believer, and when I'm a child of God, it defeats this evil world. So everything in this evil world, we have the power over. That's what that scripture tells us. And you may say, well, what about me? Well, what about you? Are you believing or are you not believing? Okay. And we achieve this victory through our faith. So the victory is not automatic. The victory is through faith. And faith is not just confessing. It's acting on what you believe. So to get the victory over this world, you not only have to confess it, God's word, you have to believe it's yours and start operating in it. Just like James talks about, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith comes first. Works are a byproduct. They are the fruit of your faith, not the other way around. There's a lot of people like, I do good works, I do this, I feed the poor, I do all, but the faith isn't there with it. Right. It's the faith first. You do the works because faith compels you to go do it. That's right. It compels you. Faith will motivate you to do something for somebody else. Faith will motivate you to get your butt out of bed and come to church on Sunday. That's what faith does. God, I love you. I'm coming to spend time with you and your other family members. Yeah. I'm coming to worship my half-brother. That's what you did today. Shoo. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. That scripture is phenomenal. everything that we deal with in this life, we have the ability to get the victory over, not in our own power, but in the power of God, as we confess the name of Jesus and stand on His word. Verse 5, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's not how many Bibles are on your shelf. It's not what church do you go to. Hear me. It's not how many podcasts or how many worship songs you listen to. I know that I like to frustrate people. I'm telling you, I speak into these things because it irritates people because they need to know the truth because the truth will set them free. Right. Worship is great. Music is great. But it does not take the place of the word. You can have word in your music and that'll help. Amen. But it is the word of God that you believe on and you stand on that gives you the victory. Yeah. You cannot. Jesus. Verse 5. And who can win this battle against the world? Who can really win the battle against the world? Because many people you talk to, they're like, man, there's no hope. There's no hope. And then we have election and they're like, oh, there's hope. Your hope's in the wrong thing. If you have hope in God, you're not worried about anything around you. All you're focused on is pleasing Jesus. That's everything. Because no matter what it looks like, you already have the victory because Jesus already got the victory. So when you believe and trust and live for Him, you overcame whether the election went one way, five ways, or never had an election. You hear what I'm saying? No matter what the evil report is, you already got the good report. You're not going to replace a good report with an evil report when you have the good report. I'm saying that quicker than you're shouting about it. Amen. If you got the good thing, if you have the victory, you're not saying, well, I'm going to set the victory aside because everybody else wants defeat. No, you're going to stand in victory. And that's what causes the believer to stand, especially when it comes to healing in the Holy Ghost, to stand in the place of preaching that and living that because you already have the victory. I am not going to back away from speaking in tongues because it's not popular. Because I already got the victory. I already know the power that's available through it. Yeah. Amen. Same thing with the name of Jesus. Same thing with the blood. I'm not going to stop talking about the blood because the blood has washed the sin away from my life. The moment I stop giving God the glory for the blood is the moment the sin's going to have power over me. Because it's literally the thing that took the power of sin off of me. Yeah. You hear me? Yeah. You say, well, that you can't talk. Blood is nasty. Yeah. Look at Jesus and what He went through. It was nasty. It was gruesome. But it paid it all. Amen. You get to a point where you will fight for what you know is right. You'll fight for what is right, even against all odds. And I'm telling you, we're coming in a season. Don't think about the election, how it's going to go, and this, that, and the other, and what's going to happen because of it. If you're living based off of that, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and you won't overcome. You won't overcome by anything that this world offers. The world system cannot overcome the world system. Do you hear me? A nation cannot overcome another nation. In the end, when you read the end of the book, they're going to have all kinds of cool stuff at the end time. Lasers, and they'll be able to do all kinds of stuff. But when Jesus shows up, the King of Kings, it doesn't matter. All that stuff's going to be foiled. It's going to come to nothing when Jesus comes. So guess what? Who lives in you? Jesus. The one that had the victory in the beginning, the one that had the victory at the cross, and the one that has the victory at the end. Same King, same Lord, and He lives in you. Amen. So we got the victory every day. Every day you're victorious. Every day. Every day. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it all the time either. But I don't let my feelings dictate my victory. My victory is in Christ. Amen. Okay. I'm getting there. Mark 11:22. I told you we were going to Hebrews. We'll get there. Well, I say that, but we'll try to get there. I don't know. I read this scripture and I can't get away from it. Mark 11:22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God." If you have your Bibles, underline that, because people have a lot of faith in a lot of different things. And if it's not in God, it's not the God kind of faith. And it will not bring forth the truth of God's word. God's promises come through faith in him. No other way. Don't put your faith in a pastor. Don't put your faith in your money. Don't put your faith in the government. Put your faith in God. Man, I could hear a mouse run right now. Verse 23, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up. Here I go. I'm so used to King James. New Living Translation. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So it says it this way. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe whatever things you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. That's the New King James or King James Version. So, the saying, you believe, you speak, amen, and then you act on it. You see how this is happening here? The truth is, I tell you, Jesus' words, I tell you the truth. It's written in red. You can speak to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. If you have a mountain in your life, you can speak to that thing. You say, well, it's big. I don't have a shovel big enough. You don't need a shovel. Anywhere in this mountain moving faith, was it a physical thing that you had to labor in? No. It was a decision that you made to speak. And when you speak in faith, it places a demand on heaven to move that mountain. So heaven moves the mountain. You hear me? Heaven moves the mountain. Heaven moves the sickness. Heaven moves the bills out of your life and the finances to flow. You get what I'm saying here? Heaven does the lifting. All you must do is believe and speak and start operating in what God's telling you to do. And the mountain will move. It has to move. God is not a liar. And some of us deal with some big mountains. Things have been put on us. Some mountains have been in generations in your families, for generations. Guess what? The generations before you didn't know how to move the mountain, apparently. But you are the generation that's going to be a mountain mover. Amen. Amen. You're going to be the mountain mover. And I'm going to show you how. Hebrews 11. Let's go there. Hebrews 11. I have so much to give on this. Lord, have mercy. Hebrews 11. Great examples of faith, or the hall of faith. Yeah. If you're taking notes, or you got a highlighter, you're going to see something here. Verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. I'm not going to get tied on this because I won't ever get through it. Verse 2. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned good reputation. Or other translations said, for it, by it, the elders received a good report. So faith gets a good report. If it's not faith in God always has a good report. So if someone says, God told me this bad report that you're going to have, I wouldn't receive that. I don't receive bad reports. I receive good reports. I believe good reports. Even if there isn't a report yet, I believe it's going to be good when the report comes. Amen. It's good all the time, whether you got the report or not. You understand what I mean? That's God. That is faith in God. Is God is a good God, so every report from Him is good. You say, well, I'm going to the doctor, and I don't know how it's going to be. No, it's going to be a good report. Amen. I declare it's going to be a good report. Amen. I declare you're going to walk. Amen. 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 I declare you're going to be set free. Amen. It's a good report. We go to the, it's not going to be a bad report at the apartment complex. No, it's going to be a good report. Yeah. Great things are going to happen. Yeah. Why? Because we have the victory already. Yeah. You say, well, there was Indians there years ago that did Indian chants over that place. I could care less what the Indians did that long ago. Because my God is bigger than the Indians report. And people say, well, churches here, they cast out the Holy Spirit. They didn't want the Holy Spirit years ago. That's what they did then. The mountain's moving. Yeah. The mountain's moving. Revival is here. Amen. Amen. And it lives in you. Yeah. Why? Because there's a good report by faith. Yeah. You say, well, I don't have the victory yet. Yeah, you don't have it yet, but it's there. Amen. You got the victory because it's written to you. Yeah. The word is working in the believer's life. Amen. The word is working in your life. Your victory is already working in you and has been provided for you. Amen. You say, well, my finances aren't lining up the way they should. Well, guess what? Sometimes they go through a dry spell, but guess what? It isn't lasting. Yeah. It's breaking through in Jesus' name because the word is working. And you sowed seed and there's going to be a good report. Amen. Amen. There's going to be financial breakthrough. You may say, well, my thoughts are there. I got cruddy thoughts. I think on bad things. Well, stop thinking on those things. Stop entertaining them. Yeah. Amen. They can come, but don't let them make a nest. Let them keep on going. Yeah. Let it be somebody else's report, but it's not going to be mine. Amen. It's not going to be mine. Anybody, even believers, they'll come up and they'll be so negative. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And if it's a, I understand you got a prayer request, that's one thing. But we're going to pray it out and we're going to pray a good report. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? You can have hard things come at you, but you got to end at a place of victory. Yeah. You got to end at a place of faith when you start speaking these things. You don't end at a heaviness, you end at a freedom. It has to be that way. If not, it's not faith in God. Faith in God always has a good report. It always has multiplication. We used to go soul winning, and we talk about it, and we prayed about it. It'd be like, nobody show up. I literally, at Faith Alive, when I started the church, and we were in Church Hill, literally, I came prepared, an awesome message, same pulpit, still the same pulpit we had then. Man, solid. Solid particle board. Amen. Been through many storms, but here's the thing. I was ready to preach. The only people that came was my family and my mom. Five came to the service, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I went to Bible school. I gave up everything. My inheritance, I gave it all up for five people. What am I doing? And I started whining to God. And the Lord just, he dealt with me with a firm hand. He said, did I call you? Yes, sir. And that's where it stopped. That's all he said. Yes, sir, you called me. So I look back and I'm like, don't despise small beginnings. We couldn't get anybody to go knock on a door. Everybody's like, people think we're Jehovah's Witness. We're not going to do that. You got to go do it. And I took a picture of like 15 people knocking on doors, sharing the gospel with people. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm sitting there just by the truck, admiring what's going on, pulling bags out for them to just hand out. And I'm thinking to myself, look what the Lord is doing. This is phenomenal. Teams of people going out. And I think to myself, yes, Lord, you called me. God is faithful. And it's just getting started. The best is yet to come. You got to be able to get to a place of perspective that God is good all the time. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. I go to that scripture all the time. That is my decisive decision-making scripture. If things are steal, killing, and destroying, they're not of God. And if they're bringing life and abundant life, they're of God. And that's my litmus test. So when someone comes to me and they're like, this is happening to me, I'm having these thoughts, this pain in my body, that's still killing and destroying their life. That's not of God. I curse that thing in Jesus' name. Let's get the victory over it. Come on. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is not of God. Anything that comes that brings abundant life, God's in it. Amen. And you say, well, isn't there things that, like, what about the lottery? What about this and that? That God's not in that. I'm telling you right now, God will take care of those situations. I don't look at the details of it. God gives me the confirmation on the inside. Is God in this or not? Yeah. Is God in it or not? And the Holy Ghost will speak to me, and I'll know it's God. And, you know, anyway, I won't get in detail, maybe another time. Let's get back to the scripture. Verse 3. I don't know how many times, at least 15 times probably, through this chapter, it says by faith. And it says by faith prior to the promise coming to pass. So that tells me, for the promise to come to pass in your life, faith has to be a precursor. Yeah. You hear me? By faith, this. By faith, this. By faith. Here we go, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Well, that throws out evolution right out the window, because faith has the power to create. I'm going to go down through this. Take notes if you can. You'll have to re-listen to the message, but I'm just going to hit it. Here we go. So, number one, by faith, power is released. Amen. Verse 4, it was by faith Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Faith will always give an acceptable offering. Faith gives evidence of righteousness, and faith is generational. See all those truths by faith, what Abel did? Faith is still, Abel's faith is still speaking today. Your faith today will speak to the generation tomorrow. Your words and your actions put a demand on God today to see His promises come to pass today, and it will speak to the generation. Children see how their parents live. Yeah. And when parents live in faith, believing God, their kids, I just saw a picture of my son. We have that little camera thing you put your photos in and it pops up every 10 seconds. What a digital frame. Yeah. Okay, it's a thing with pictures on it. Anyway, whatever. Digital frame. All right, so it's sitting there and my son pops up when we were at Celebrate America, and I think he was like 6 years old like this, at the altar in Washington, D.C., at Daughters of the American Revolution, like 10, 11 years ago. And I looked at that picture this morning, and I was like, you know what? Faith is speaking, and it's bringing the promise to pass. And now he's in Bible school. And it's like, I'm not getting all the glory, but God is. He went to the altar, and he saw us worship. So he started worshiping. God does the rest. We just got him to the altar. God does the rest. And God's doing a wonderful work. Same thing with my daughter. You're doing a wonderful work. I'm like, it's generational. You got to be able to see this, church. How you live today affects tomorrow. How you live today affects tomorrow. Verse 5. It was by faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith. I mean, every promise in this whole chapter throughout the generations was by faith. The promises came to pass by faith. That Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. And people are like, well, that's harsh. God took him? I'd rather go with God than stay here. Anyway, God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. How was he known as a person that pleased God if he did not activate his faith? People would not know that he pleased God. They saw that he pleased God by his actions. Enoch put a demand on God by his faith. See that? Yeah. Amen. It gets better. Get ready, man. Verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Wow. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder who sincerely seek him. Underline that word seek. Because that word seek, one of the definitions, guess what it is? To place a demand. That word seek is to place a demand on him. But notice what it says, sincerely. So you place a demand with a pure heart. Yes. With a humble heart. That's the key. To sincerely seek him. That word seek there also means investigate, seek out, or require. So let me read that again. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely investigate him. When you investigate something, what do you have? You have evidence. You have paperwork. We got paperwork on God. The evidence is here as you seek him. Yeah. So you want more evidence of how true God is? It's in the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Guess what else? You have testimonies of all the other believers. Evidence of how good God is. Yeah. This is the church. So listen to me. You got written affidavit. You got written testimony of the power and the promises of God. You got active believers and their testimonies, evidence, as you investigate God and you seek him out. This is the covenant that we have with our mighty God. Yeah. It's covenant. Man, it's a covenant promise that all the promises are yes and amen to the church. Yeah. It's covenant. Jesus' blood was shed to pay for it so we could have covenant. Hallelujah. You might be getting tired out there, but I'm just getting warmed up. When you get a hold of this, everything is by faith. Everything is by faith. You must sincerely seek him. Place a demand. Faith places a demand. Yeah. To read evidence, you got to actively open your Bible and read it. Yeah. Amen. There is an activation to your faith to get the evidence that you need. No investigator sits at their office and says, I'm gaining evidence, not using their computer, not talking to anybody, not doing anything. They'll be a terrible lawyer, investigator, if they never pursue and investigate what they want to find out. I want you to get a hold of this. The more you investigate, the more you know. Yeah. And the more you can stand on. So if you never open your Bible, you're a poor investigator. Come on, I'm preaching. Because the more you go out and you serve God, the more you investigate and see his glory. Yeah. You want testimonies, you got to go out there and test. You got to test the waters. You say, well, I'm scared to share my faith with people. You'll never investigate and see the power of God if you never pray with someone. Yeah. I had a minister tell me all the time, he's like, I was like, man, I want to see more people healed. You know what he said? Go lay hands on more people. That's right. Go do the ministry. You'll see the signs and wonders. If you never lay hands on someone to get them healed, you'll never see someone healed by laying on of hands. Yeah. And I mean, is that more obvious? I mean, you can't get more obvious than that. But don't stand back and say, well, they're taking care of it. Then it's not your faith. It's their faith. And they receive the promise based off of their faith. And the word works based off of their faith, not yours. Yeah. That's why I want to activate you. That's what blessed me so much yesterday, is the activation of people's faith. Yeah. In their gifting. Yeah. Even the serving. I'm telling you, Miss Sherry, where's my mom? She's not here. Yeah. Sunday school. Serving. Amen. Yeah. It's powerful. The time they took, the energy they took, and the prayer and the gifting on them. To serve people. Yeah. It's powerful. And it brings great joy. Verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. Can you imagine building a boat where there's no water around you and you never saw rain? What a dumb thing to do. Noah was right on track. You may say, Lord, you told me to do this. Nobody else is doing it. It looks stupid. Well, guess what? You're right in the will of God. You'll be right in the will of God. You'll pull a Noah. Amen. He obeyed God who warned him about things. When God warns you and speaks to you, you must obey him. You have to. Do not pull away. That's why it's like there's no other option. If five people come to my service or one, I got to preach. Because that's the call. I have to obey God. Yeah. I have to obey God. Even if nobody shows up, I'm going to speak to creation. Hey, I'll speak to all of God's creation. Why? Because God called me to do this. He called me to do this. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Do you know righteousness comes by faith? Righteousness doesn't come any other way. It has to be faith in God. So when you say, well, I don't feel righteous, that's because you don't know who you are in Christ. Because Christ has made you righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not quoting that just for myself. That's what the Bible says. You have to put your name there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am made righteous because Christ has set me free and made me righteous. When you see it that way, you don't look at your past anymore, because your past is as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Even if you missed it, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ by faith. Hallelujah. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to the other land. I mean, I could read on and on. So faith causes obedience. When you trust God, you obey. Faith moves you. It puts a demand on your physical body to move. When faith comes, when you believe God, it will cause you to move. It caused Abraham to move and leave his parents. Faith will warn you of things to come. Faith will prepare you. Faith will produce righteousness in you. It goes on and on. Faith stands for truth. Verse 11, let's go to verse 11. It was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child through though she was barren and was too old. Can you believe that? You can if you operate in faith. You say, oh, she was barren. Or you can say something in your life. Well, this has never come to pass. This will never happen in my family. All these buts. Or you've never seen it. Noah never saw rain, but built a huge wooden ark. You can't, there's nothing you're going through that's worse than that. You've seen everything that you're probably believing for. You've seen people save your, you may have a loved one that's not saved, that's a chief heathen, drunkard, living like the world, doing whatever they want to do. But guess what? God saved other drunkards. He can save your drunkard. Amen. Amen. That's far easier than building the ark when you don't have any rain. Think about it. That's a testimony for you to see, man, what he did for them by faith, he can do for me by faith. So when I start reading these, and I encourage you, read this chapter. Keep reading this chapter. By faith, all of a sudden it's you. By faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By faith, I got the victory over sickness and disease. By faith, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. By faith, my marriage is wonderful. Amen. It's wonderful, but it's getting more and more wonderful. By faith. By faith, everything is in operation. It puts a demand on heaven for heaven to come and be your helper. Amen. You want help by faith. Yes. And you receive the promise, the comforter, the guide. Yes. Verse 17, it is by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. I'm telling you, these people did things. I could never literally take my son knowing darn well I'm getting ready to build an altar to burn him and sacrifice my son. God, I love you, but I don't know if I'm there yet. But Abraham was. But notice, offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God testing him, Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. So notice, God was telling him to do this, but Abraham knew that Isaac was the plan that God had for the generations to come. So how could he be the one for the generations to come if he was going to be sacrificed? Either he had to have a different sacrifice, or he had to be resurrected from his sacrifice to continue on. But faith says, I'm going to do what God's telling me to do, and God's going to provide. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. He went up there, he built the altar, he got the wood, all of a sudden he got his knife out, he's getting ready to kill his son, and there's a ram in the thicket. Yeah. God provided in the last moment, the 12th hour of the day, yeah, the midnight hour, God provided the sacrifice, yeah, so his son would be spared. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus died on the cross 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, and then all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden, the resurrection power of God came. After he got done what he had to do down there. There is times in your life you're thinking, I'm going through something I don't deserve. Think of Jesus. Jesus went through a whole lot of hell that he didn't deserve. But what happened? He got the victory, didn't he? Amen. He got the victory, yes, because he knew his Father. Yes. And his Father was faithful. Yes.
And his Father is faithful because he's your Father. And you can call upon him today. Today, I got so much more, but here we are. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for those listening online. Hallelujah. Faith causes a demand to take place in the spiritual realm. And Father, I thank you that as each and every person heard this message today, that faith is stirred on the inside. It's not based on the outside, but it's stirred on the inside to believe God as they place a demand on heaven. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter if it's physical, if it's mental, if it's emotional, if it's financial, or if it's spiritual, it all works the same way. By faith, God moved upon them. And it's by faith today that God is moving upon His people. He's moving upon those that do not know Him. He's moving upon those that are sick and hurting. He's moving upon those that have a broken spirit and a hard heart. God, you are moving. Your word is moving. Jesus is moving on those that can believe that He's moving. And there's a lot of believing going on here. There's a lot of faith being released. And God's word is moving. He's moving right now in the hearts of the hearer. And as you're sitting there, I want you to put a demand on God by faith. And say to yourself, by faith, blank, what is it that you're believing God for? What is it that you're standing on the word for? Maybe everything is absolutely perfect and golden in your life. You better keep believing or everything perfect won't stay. So everybody must have to release their faith on a daily basis. Either to receive the promise that they haven't received yet, or to keep the promise that God has already provided that they're walking in. You walk by faith, not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you heard God's word that's working today. And I'm believing God with you. And God is in the room. That as you release your faith and you come forward, and you whatever that blank is in your life that you want fulfilled, as you come forward and believe God, by faith, put your name there. By faith, David received because he stood on the word of God and the promise came to pass. Whatever it might be, by faith, you stand. You operate. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to confess it. That's part of it. But you got to stand on it. You got to step out and believe it. And I want to tell you that Scripture says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. So that tells me I'm not going to deny God of anything. I'm going to let everybody know what the Lord has done. And Lord, I want more done in my life so I can share more about your goodness to others. Lord, I have testimonies, but I want more testimonies. Lord, I have finances, but I want more finances so I can do more for you. Hallelujah. I got health, Lord. I thank you for my health. But Lord, keep me strong. Keep me healthy. Keep me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is speaking to you and you're releasing your faith for something, I want you to come forward because I just want to lay my hands on you and agree with you to stir up the gift of faith that you are already operating in. So Paul did to Timothy. He laid his hands to stir up the faith. It's not me giving you something. It's me agreeing, and the power of God is going to come upon your life. But the ability to come up here and stand and say, I want this, it shows the enemy that you mean business with God. And there's many people that sit, get this, there's many people that sit confessing and wanting God, but never step. And never get to the place of fulfillment of the promise. Abraham didn't just say, well, you're going to make me the father of many nations. That's wonderful, and I'll still keep all my cattle, and I'm going to stay right here. No, he had to leave. He had to leave and go somewhere. The only way you can get from point A to point B is you have to leave point A. And the only way you're going to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life is you got to step away from where you are to get to where God has you going. And I want to encourage you in this, because this literally is the breakthrough that is needed for the body of Christ. It's a breakthrough for this nation. Humble themselves and pray, and then what are you going to do? You got to obey what the Lord's speaking to you to do. Because if you humble yourself and pray, like the Word says, but you never go out and do the Great Commission, you only halfway did it. You're not fulfilling all that God has. Father, I thank you that you stir the hearts of the people. Let them hear with their spirit, not with their soul. Let it get deep on the inside of them, Lord. That others can see their faith by their works. Oh, Jesus. 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 Shut up, real quick. Shut up, real quick. Liberal. By faith, they received a good report. The good report is the final word. But faith plus action equals a good report. Faith plus action equals a good report. I'm saying that because you can leave here today with the good report, even though you haven't seen it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So I ask you, church, what are you hoping for? What are you believing for? I stir your faith in Jesus' name by the Word of God. God's Word is working. It's working on people's hearts. Those that believe. Those that believe in God's Word, it's working. It's working. Do you have to come to the altar? No, you don't have to come to the altar to get from God. But there's something at the altar that will alter you. There's a stepping out in faith that causes change to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't look at the former things. I look to the greater things. I don't look to the woulda, shoulda, couldas. I look to the promise of God. And it's good. He's a good, good Father. Full of promise. Full of promises. Full of peace. Joy, peace, and joy. Fulfillment of prophecy in Jesus' name. Redeem the time, Lord. Redeem the time. In the name of Jesus, redeem the time. Oh, yes.